Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David. This is 12th Hour Park Story, Sabbatarian Congress. It's not the 12th Hour. In the Elgin area, the day is August the 10th, 2024, or it is Elu 6, 2028. We will start our first service on this Sabbath day with a song, and then we'll go into our regular sermon. It's going to be taken from One Time of Greetings, number 22 of the V.T. Potter. Okay, the hated Jews of today, not the admired Jews of tomorrow. Text of address of V.T. Potter, January the 4th, 1947. Okay, it says, in Zephaniah, beginning with the first verse, gather yourselves together, gather together, O nation not desired, before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Yahweh come upon you before the day of the Yahweh's anger come upon you. Now, what are we told here to do? It says that the true Israel, the house of David, tribe of Judah, the lawgiver, is the everlasting kingdom of heaven that is set up by Yahshua during this last parabolic hour that we're in right now since 2002. It says, gather yourself together. Yea, gather together, O nation, not desired. Now, where is that nation found at during the Bible? You can go to Deuteronomy chapter 4 and find about a nation there, which is the nation of Israel. It's the kingdom of Judah, the house of David, the everlasting kingdom of heaven set up here in these last days. That's the nation that is not desired. But once it comes forth in full power, then it subdues all these kings that is mentioned there in Daniel 2. In the days of these kings, represented by those 10 kings in the last day, which means all the kings of the earth, shall Yahweh set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and that's this everlasting kingdom of David that we represent today. So it says, as we go on, of all the verses in this chapter, these two are the most let's do it again. Of all the verses in this chapter, these two are the most difficult to place. Some years ago, I heard a preacher give an exposition on the first three verses, isolating them from the rest of the chapter and connecting them with other passages of the scripture. He gave an excellent discourse and endeavored to show that the nation mentioned in verse 1 is the Yahweh's church, and that the decree is that of the two-horned beast of the Revelation 13:15. To 17, for the study was well presented, and the thoughts he brought out looked plausible enough. But as we now know that the scriptures cannot be rightly understood isolated from their continuity, for we need to study these verses first in the connection with the chapter itself. Let us note that the nation in question is together, itself together, that she is not desired. That the anger of Yahweh is to fall upon her, and that she is together herself together before the decree brings forth, and before the anger of the Yahweh falls upon her. What makes this nation gather together? Certainly not the decree, and not the Yahweh's anger. For these are to come upon her after she gathers together. For the decree certainly cannot be a vicious decree, for there is not even a thought in the scripture that is so indicated, that it certainly points out that the decree is some other than the Yahweh's decree. For as the fierce anger of the Yahweh in the day that passes as the chaff, according unto the word that followed. This undesirable nation gathering together is a sign posted unto Yahweh's people, urging them to continue seeking him so much the more. Seek ye. Now we're going to have to go to Yahshua the Son here. This is really who Zephaniah is talking about all along. Is the Son of Yahweh, Yahshua. So let's do it with Yahshua in mind. Zephaniah 2:3. Seek ye the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness, that maybe you shall be hid in the day of the Yahshua's anger. I've talked about these last days, about when the Lamb comes. It's talked about when the wrath of the Lamb comes. Okay. This is what we're talking about here. When this judgment-bound nation begins to gather together, then it is it never before that the meek of the earth need to seek meekness. For the meek of the earth are those who have brought the Yahshua's judgment, who have proclaimed the message of the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua, the Son, for they are his people. This church, for the nation that is not desired therefore, is one people, and the meek of the earth, the church, those who are hid in the day of the Yahshua's anger, are another people. For the one is gathered together, the other is seeking meeting. Definitely then, the nation of the verse 1 and 2 is not his church, that the people of verse 3 are his people, his church. Let us now read verses 1 and 2 connectively with verses 4 and 5, omitting verse 6. The verse which has reference to the church. Yet it says, Zephaniah 2, 1, 2, 4, and 5. Gather yourself together, yes. Gather together, O nation not desired, before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Yahshua come upon you. For Gaza shall be forsaken, and Ashkelon a desolation. They shall drive out Ashdod at the noonday, and Ekron shall be rooted up. Woe unto the inhabitant of the sea coast, the nation of the Cherethite, for the word of the Yeshua is against you, O Canaan. This is the land of Israel, the land of the Philistines, which were called Canaanites back then. Well, no, the Philistines weren't called Canaanites. They're descendants of the Palestinians or the Arabians. How about even destroy thee, that there shall be no inhabitant? For the first verse definitely implies that the nation is together, and the cities of Gaza, Ashkelon, Ashdod, and Ekron, in the land of the Philistines, in the land of Canaan, and Palestine. And the view of the fact that the scripture is now being unfolded, and also the fact that there is but one people, one nation, the descendants of the ancient scribes, the priests, and Pharisees, who rejected the Yeshua, and who have not even to this day accepted him, that are hardly desired anywhere in the world, that is now doing all she can to get together in Palestine. In the view of all this, the present day Jews are the undesired nation. Upon her, therefore, the Yahshua's anger is the fall. If she continues to deny Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, yes, the universally hated Jew is the only nation that has been scattered throughout the Gentile world, and is the only one that is now getting together in Palestine. Moreover, in these verses, the truth stand out clearly. Number one, that in vain the Jews seek to establish themselves in the promised land. Number two, that we who are bearing the message of the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua are counseled to seek meekness and righteousness, for thus only shall we be hid in the day of the Yahshua's anger. That is, merely their knowledge of the message will not save us, there should be corresponding deeds with it. That is now connect verse 3 with verses 6 and 7, the verses that are applicable to the people of Yahweh, the meek. Okay, Zephaniah 2, 3, 6, and 7. Seek ye the Yahshua, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment, seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of Yahshua's anger. And the sea coast shall be dwelling, and cottages for the shepherd, and folds for the flock. And the coast shall be for the remnant of the house of Judah. Okay, so that would be Gaza today. They shall feed, therefore, in the houses of the Ashkelon shall they lie down in the evening. For the Yahweh, their father, shall visit them and turn away their captivity. Now the fact that the Yahweh, or let's stay with Yahshua the Son. The Yahshua the Son is to destroy all the inhabitants of the land of the Philistines, Zephaniah 2:5, and at the same time make it dwelling for shepherds and folds, for flocks, shows that he is first to drive out of the land all the wicked, all those who are not seeking meekness, and he is to set up the house of Judah, the lawgiver, the kingdom of David, in it. Zephaniah 2:8. I have heard the reproach of Moab and the revilings of the children of Ammon, whereby they have reproached my people and magnified themselves against their border. Not only the unbelieving Jews, but also the unbelieving Arabs who resist the meek are to be swept away from the land. So this meek is set up here in Texas. This is where the house of David is hid. We're hid here. And the day that the Spirit's anger is being carried out right now in the land of Israel against those antithetical Philistines, while we, the meek of the earth, the house of David, is being hidden right here in Texas, fulfilling this prophecy. Zephaniah 2:9. Therefore, as I live, saith the Yahshua of the host, and the host is the house of David, the lawgiver, 144,000 with it. The Yahweh of the Israel, surely, it says again, therefore, as I live, saith the Yahshua of the host, the son of the Yahweh of Israel, surely Moab shall be as a sorrow, and the children of Ammon as the Gomorrah, even the breeding of the nettles and salt pits, and a perpetual desolation. The residue of my people shall spell them, and the remnant of my people shall possess them. So the residue is the tribe of Judah. That's the residue of the 12 tribes, the house of David. Where the kingdom of Yahshua set up these last days. The residue of my people shall spoil them. I don't know what I said, but let's read that all again now. For the residue, the house of David, the lawgiver, of the 12 tribes of Israel, of my people, shall spoil them, and the remnant of my people shall possess them. So the residue, the house of David, the tribe of Judah, that's the remnant of the 12 tribes, shall possess all of them. While Moab and Ammon become as Sodom and Gomorrah, go out of the existence, that's sinful to the house of Abraham, okay. Because Lot, the descendants of Lot, the nephew of Abraham, okay, so it says, they become an independent nation and possess all the wealth of the people round about. Why is it necessary for this residue, tribe of Judah, house of David, all of a sudden come in as the rulers of that land over there, and then they possess all the wealth of the people round about? So we're worried about how, what's going to happen to all the money we got here. Now, Zephaniah 2:10-11, this shall they have for their pride, because they have reproached and magnified themselves against the people of the Yahshua of the host. For the Yahshua will be terrible unto them, for he will famish all the gods of the earth, and men shall worship him, everyone from his place, even all the isles of the heathen. Zephaniah 2:12-13. Ye Ethiopians also, ye shall be slain by my sword. And he will stretch out his hand against the north and destroy Assyria, and will make Nineveh a desolation and dry like a wilderness. Zephaniah 2:14. And flocks shall lie down in the midst of her in Nineveh. All the beasts of the nation, both the cormorant and the bittern, shall lodge in the upper lintel of it. Their voice shall sing in the window. Desolation shall be in the threshold, for he shall uncover the cedar work. Who wants to ignore the truth that these conditions are definitely premillennial? Moreover, these prophecies show that the renewal of the ancient kingdom of Judah is to be a real thing, not something imaginary. Its subjects are to be real people, not ghosts. Now we can see that the common expression going to heaven means first going to the promised land, there to be fitted for the society of the pure and eternal. Zephaniah 2:15. This is the rejoicing city that dwelt carelessly has said in her heart, I am and there is none beside me. How is she become a desolation, a place for the beast to lie down in? Everyone that passes by her shall hiss and wag his hand. For the capital city of Yeshua has a border that rules the people. It is to become a desolation. This Nineveh is evidently the antitype of the ancient Nineveh, as is the Babylon of the Revelation, the antitype of the ancient Babylon. For the summary of this chapter, this is, the hated Jews of the day are not to be the admired Jews of tomorrow. For the means which the Jews now pursue to gain admission to Palestine are not the means that would establish them there forever, even if they should succeed in getting there. For the only Jews and Arabs that may remain in the land will be those who seek the Yahshua, the Yahweh of the Moses. And the only people that will get there are those who will stay there. The land is reserved for the kingdom of the antitypical Judah, the house of David, and the lawgiver. Genesis 49:10. For a scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between the seed until Shiloh come. Shiloh is Asher, the king of Israel, till these last days. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. For the nation and the kingdom that will not serve her shall perish. Yet those nations shall be utterly wasted. Isaiah 60:12. Since we are now definitely and directly counseled to seek meekness and righteousness, we dare not neglect our opportunity. Moreover, we are not left to conjecture as to what is required of us in order to prepare for the great and dreadful day of the Yahshua. But let us remember that if we invent barriers of our own, regulations by which to automatically force ourselves into the obedience of the word in accordance with our own preconception, we would be working out nothing less than our own righteousness. We must not be like the Pharisees of old. I must not judge others by our prescribed human standards. We are not to mount the judgment seat and not to encroach upon another's conscience, not to judge another in the matters that lay between the soul and Yahweh. All we are called to do is to teach and practice the truth for today, to let the people make up their own mind for or against it. We are not to force them into anything. Let us remember that it is concerning just such a spirit and practice have been intruding upon the conscience of the others that Thus Sure said, judge not that ye be not judged, as is said in Rome. We have no right to enforce our opinion and our views upon others just because others do not come up to meet our expectations. And ideal is by no means good reason for the condemning them and the order for the helping them far from it. Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Yeshua come. So we don't judge anything until he come, who both will bring unto the light the hidden things of the darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of the Yahweh, 1 Corinthians 4:5. For their lives were to magnify the power of a Savior who could justify them by his righteousness, and that would be by his blood. But gradually a change came, for the believers began to look for the defects in the others, dwelling upon the mistake, giving place to the unkind criticism. They lost sight of the Savior and his love. They became more strict in the regard unto the outward ceremonies, more particular about the theory than the practice of the faith in the blood of the Yeshua of the everlasting covenant, as spoken of there in Hebrews 10:12, and their zeal to condemn others. They overlooked their own errors, for they lost the brotherly love that the Yeshua had enjoined, and saddest of all, they were unconscious of their loss, for they did not realize that the happiness and joy were going out of their lives, and that having shut the love of the Yahweh out of their hearts, they will soon walk in the darkness. It is not the opposition of the world that most endangers the church of the Yeshua. It is the evil church in the heart of the believers that works the most grievous disaster and most surely retards the progress of the Yahweh's heart. Well, there is no sure way of the weakening spiritually, of the weakening spirituality, than by the church envy, suspicion, fault finding, and evil surmising. Aside from the Ezekiel, Yahweh's mouthpiece, Yahweh delegates no other to be a watchman of the people. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman upon the house of the Israel. Therefore, hear the word of my mouth, and give them warning from me, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest them not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, for his blood will I require at thy hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin and his righteousness, which he hath done, shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also, thou hast delivered thy soul. Ezekiel 3:17-21. In short, we are not to covet the throne upon the mount in the sides of the north, Isaiah 14:13. And ever remember that if the truth itself cannot persuade the sinner to repent, force and human effort will do less good and much harm. Our time is too short and our work too great to engage in the matters that are foreign unto our duty. We cannot afford to waste our strength picking flaws in others. Let us get ready for the kingdom, for there is a church and a world, and a world to save, and Yahweh is anxious that we get down to the business, and very quickly, if we are to be among the admired Jews of tomorrow and live in the perfect peace with the everlasting security. End of number 22. Okay. And we have covered about 38 minutes. So we have 22 minutes left on this hour. And so we're going to inject timely greetings. And number 23, the fate of Assyria and the triumph of the church. Is the world war two yet to be finished, saints yet to be delivered? And so we're going to look here and see now. This text of address, January 11th, 1947. So we'll turn to Zephaniah chapter 3 and begin with the first verse. Zephaniah 3:1, woe to her that is filthy and polluted unto the oppressed city. For the antecedent of the pronoun her is found in the 13th verse of the preceding chapter. And it is seen that the city here pointed out is Nineveh, the capital city of the ancient Assyria. Now, to ascertain whether Nineveh is actually the capital city of ancient Assyria or some other Assyria, we shall study the remaining verses of the chapter. Zephaniah 3:2. For she obeyed not the voice, she received not the correction, she trusted not in the Yahshua, she drew not near unto her Savior and Redeemer, Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh. For this verse points out of the fact that the city and nation here mentioned had the privilege of hearing the voice of the inspiration of the nine Yahweh's truth that has failed to take heed, received no correction, trusted not in the Yahshua, drew not near unto her Savior, her Redeemer, King of Israel, Yahshua. Her princesses within her are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves, for they gnaw not the bones till tomorrow. Her princes, being like roaring lions, must be frightful persons who evidently think might make strife. Her judges are, as it were, evening wolves. That is, they are in business not for the executing judgment, justice, and righteousness, only for the catching and tearing into pieces, for the filling up of their den with the prey, although they may have more than they know what to do with. That's the case where we're at today, the house of Laban. They have more than they know what to do with, but they're holding on to it like it's the last thing on earth. For they know not the bones till tomorrow. That's not true for us. Her prophets are light and such as person. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. In the language of today, this verse would read, her teachers are lighthearted, not serious, and sober-minded. They are trapped. They are of no account, for they are treacherous persons. Her ministry, rather than having kept the church clean, have polluted it, and have done violence unto the law, have declared it glory. That's just happened down here in Oregon, Texas, as in a church. The house of Laban owns that church that we are associated with right here. This is kin close to Abraham. Thus far, it is seen that the Assyria of this chapter represents a people who have been well instructed in the things of Yahweh, the law, and the sanctuary, but instead of obeying the Yahshua and ruling justly and righteously, they have greatly transgressed, have gone down into sin as deep as any people can possibly go. Zephaniah 3:5. For the Yahshua is in the midst thereof, he will not do iniquity. Every morning that he brings his judgment to light, he faileth not. But the unjust know no sin. This is talking about the house of Gilead, the term of Texas from 1970 to 2003. This is your Nineveh of today, the house of Esau, the firstborn of Isaac, that inherited the birthright before Jacob. This is your ancestor of Syria, Nineveh. Because Brother Johnson woke every morning to righteousness because he had the creation calendar. And creation calendar taught present truth on a daily basis. So Brother Johnson had the tool. Every morning when he woke up, he had the present truth right there. All he had to do was go pray, ask Yahweh to open him up the present truth message for that day, that would be pointed out by the creation calendar, and he would receive it on a daily basis. But instead, he didn't do that. He did the opposite. That's when my Gilead Center fell away. That is the antitypical Nineveh of today. Okay. If now 3:5, for the just as sure as in the midst of, he will not do iniquity. Every morning doth he bring his judgment to light. He faileth not. But the unjust knoweth no shame. In the view of the fact that the Yeshua, the Son of Yahweh, is in the midst of them, they must be well informed in the things of the Father Yahweh, well aware that in the due season he makes known unto them his judgment. Well, that's what happened down at Gilead Center. In the due season he made known unto the brothers his judgment. And that was in 2002, when he sent a message from heaven by me to give the verse on July the 14th, 2002, to restore the sanctuary by the creation calendar and the daily. He said, no, we don't have to do the daily when we get into the land. We don't have to do it here now. And in view of all these, the only possible conclusion one can come to is that the Yahweh's church must be in the midst. Zephaniah 3:68. So the church that was in the midst of Gilead's center down there was the church of David. That was represented by antitypical Jacob. That was Elijah David representing that. That was in the midst of Gilead's center, the house of Esau. Zephaniah 3:68. I have cut off the nation. The towers are desolate. I made the streets waste, that none passes by. Their cities are destroyed, so that there is no man, that there is none inhabited. I said, surely, thou wilt fear me, thou wilt receive instruction, so their dwelling should not be cut off. However, I punish them that they rose early and corrupted all their doing. Therefore, wait ye upon me, saith Yahshua, until the day that I rise up to the prey, for my determination is to gather the nations that I may assemble the kingdoms for the point upon them of mine indignation, even all of my fierce anger, for all the earth shall be devoured with the fire, or by the fire of my jealousy. For the Yahshua himself warned that he has cut off the nation, that he has made their towers desolate and their streets waste, that he has destroyed their city and has left no inhabitants in them. For he points out that all this he did as an object lesson for the future good, so that they as a nation might fear him and receive instruction, that their dwellings not be cut off. But in spite of these examples, they rise early and corrupt all their doing. That's what Gilead Center did. They rose early every morning for 33.5 years, from 1970 to 2003. And they corrupted all their doing on a day by day business. So it is that at long last, Yahshua rises to the prey. Gather the nations, assemble the kingdom, and Assyria gets her punishment. That's your house of Laban. That's your house of Laban. Send folks to the house of Abraham. other ground. From this we see that Syria, under the discussion, exists in the time of the end, in the time in which the great and dreadful day of the Yahweh, the Father, takes place by sending his Son to sit upon the throne of David and to take charge of his antitypical kingdom, that not sure is to bring to the light here in the last day. This Assyria, therefore, is an antitype of the ancient Assyria, just as the Babylon of Revelation 17 and 18 is an antitype of the ancient Babylon. For the Assyrian charges of inspiration is as a rejoicing city that dwells carelessly, that says in her heart, I am and there is none beside me. Zephaniah 2:15. At this point, let us pause a moment and summarize the characteristics by which this modern Assyria is to be identified. Number one, as man looks at the things she is so great that there is none like her, she is well instructed in the things of Yahweh. Number two, she is oppressing a hard-ruling nation. Number three, and she has polluted the sanctuary and has declared the law of the Yahweh's voice. Number four, she has piled up wealth, going after it as an evening wolf goes after its prey. Number five, she harbors the church of Yahweh. Number six, she exists in the time. Yahshua is the manifest of power and destroy all the wicked nations. She is an Assyrian-like nation, widespread a nation of conquest. Well, this describes the general conflict of the Seventh-day Adventist as its antitypical Assyria, this Nineveh. And I believe he ought to set another place that that's what this is. There is but one people with this under the sun that answers to all these descriptions, and that people is the English-speaking people, and whose myth is the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and from whose myth the gospel or the teaching of kind of salvation, but they're actually kind of Yahshua, Hebrews 10 and 12, and the Bible flow out unto all the nations, as clear as the language can make it. The burden of the prophet Zephaniah is for the English-speaking Christian world. Yahweh is now saying unto the Assyrian capital city, he's saying to the General Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist, Ted Nelson, as the president of the General Conference. Indeed, you are doing all these abominations, but you will not thus continue long, for the time is at hand. Put a stop to your absurdity. Zephaniah 3:9. For then will I turn unto the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Yahshua for the serving him with the one consent. For the inspiration for certainty declares that after the Assyria receives her punishment, and after the wicked are taken out of his Seventh-day Adventist church, that's to chaff, then will the gospel or the teaching of the power of salvation, the brother of the everlasting covenant of Hebrews chapter 10, be proclaimed and a pure language and a pure gospel truth, that whosoever will be called upon the name of the Yahshua to serve him with the heart and soul. Then it is that only those who have withstood temptation and the strength of the Mighty One, which is Yahshua, will have a right for the proclaiming of the third angel's message, when it shall have swelled unto the loud cry and the 12th parabolic hour, the judgment of the living, that we have entered into since 2002 at Kermit, Texas. Zephaniah 3:10 and 11. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my supply, even the daughter of my distress, shall bring mine offering. In that day, thou shalt thou not be ashamed for all thy doing, wherein thou hast transgressed against me. For then I will take away out of the midst of thee them that rejoice in thy pride, and thou shalt no more be haughty because of my holy mountain. When the preaching of the plan of salvation for the revelation started of Hebrews chapter 10 and 12 is proclaimed in a pure language, then even from the ends of the earth, Yahweh's people will come with an offering unto the Yahshua. Having removed all who rejoice in her pride, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, with a new name, with retaining of her old name, shall be haughty no more. Zephaniah 3:12. I will also have in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Yahshua. I think I've missed something here. Let's back up. When the gospel or the teaching of the Father of salvation to the brother of everlasting covenant of Yahshua, Hebrews 10, is proclaimed in a pure language, then even from the ends of the earth, Yahweh's people will come with an offering unto the Yahshua. Having removed all who rejoice in her pride, the purified church shall be haughty no more. Zephaniah 3:12. I will also leave in the midst of the afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Yahshua, for the fact that he leaves in their midst poor and afflicted people is sufficient evidence in itself that the purification of the church takes place before the millennium, before Isaiah 33:24 is fulfilled, and before he sets up the kingdom mentioned therein, Zephaniah 3:13. For the remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. For the remnant, those that are left after the purification takes place, shall sin no more, for they shall forever thereafter stand without the guile in their mouth. Zephaniah 3:14. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. For a great day is coming for the righteous, a dreadful one for the wicked. We therefore, as children of Zion, are encouraged to sing and shout for the joy, because we have finally come to the time of Yahweh's great deliverance. Zephaniah 3:15. For the Yahshua hath taken away thy judgment, he hath cast out thine enemy, for the king of the Israel, even the Yahshua, is in the midst of thee, thou shalt not say evil anymore. Surely, these revelations of the prophecy should encourage every believer to shout with the joy as he realizes that the day in which he shall no more see evil is right at hand, that Yahshua is to be his only king, Zephaniah 3:16-20, and that day it shall be said unto Yahushua, fear thou not, and understand, let not thine hands be shut, for the Yahshua, the Son of Yahweh, is in the midst of thee, is mighty, for he will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with the singing. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, who are of thee, unto whom the reproach of it was a burden. Behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halted, and gather her that was driven out, and I will get them a praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. At that time will I bring you again, even in the time that I give you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all the people of the earth, when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, says to Yahshua. For Yahshua wants us to know that when he turns away our captivity, he will also make us a name and a praise among all the people of the earth. This kingdom of the Judah, the purified church of the David and set apart, is therefore not only premillennial but also probationary, and how glad we ought to be for the privilege to be among the first of the first fruit. This brings the end of number 22 and the end of our study for this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call.